The Public News Service Daily Newscast, February the 25th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. A bill advancing in the Minnesota House would establish a statewide paid family leave program. Our Mike Bowen reports it's not the first time lawmakers have considered the idea, but backers say the timing is right to help households upended by the pandemic.
House File 1200 would create a statewide fund for employers and their staff to pay into, representing roughly $2 to $3 of weekly earnings. The plan would then cover 12 weeks of partial wages for a worker dealing with a serious illness or caring for a newborn or another loved one. Northfield City Council member Jessica Peterson-White says, like many people, she's had to make difficult choices juggling a young child and her job.
Because of the pandemic, my maternity leave lasted a little more than a week, and then I was working harder than ever before to make sure my bookstore survived 2020.
Supporters say the fund would help working families deal with long-term effects of the crisis and could help reduce staff turnover. But Senate Republicans cite the cost for small business owners and note that many employers offer their own plans. The bill, also opposed by the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, cleared a House committee this week.
While the Minnesota House version is seeing some movement, it's unclear whether the companion bill in the Senate will get a hearing. Louis DeJoy, the embattled Postmaster General, said Wednesday he's not going anywhere as he faces withering criticism of his leadership of the U.S. Postal Service and calls for President Joe Biden to oust him. That from Politico. Testifying at a House Oversight and Reform Committee meeting, DeJoy said he intended to be around a long time. "Get used to me," he said. Politico notes DeJoy's resolve may be put to the test soon as Biden nominated three people to fill open seats on the board that determines the postmaster's fate. With that comes the opportunity to get rid of DeJoy. And an election in Washington's largest city, aimed at making elections better reflect the will of voters, is getting some new funding. More on that from Eric Tegedoff.
The Center for Election Science is making a $70,000 grant to Seattle Approves and four other groups around the country. Seattle Approves wants to change the city's primary elections so that voters select all the candidates they support, rather than just one. Logan Bowers ran for Seattle City Council in 2019. He saw voters struggle with the crowded field of candidates and thinks approval voting would make the process easier.
If there's two candidates that have similar views, they don't have to worry that their vote's going to be split and then both candidates will lose. And so the net result of that is the candidates that make it through tend to be favored or approved by more voters.
Voting reform groups were also chosen in the San Francisco Bay Area, Austin, Texas, Missouri, and Utah.
This is PNS. Federal regulators have issued a preliminary permit now for a pumped hydropower project using water from Lake Powell, but conservation groups say climate change could make that plan unsustainable.
The project would pump water from the lake, drain it downhill to a generator, and send the power to massive batteries for storage. The 2,200-megawatt project would supply cities in Arizona, California, and Nevada over lines previously used by the retired Navajo Generating Station. But Gary Wachner with the group Save the Colorado says falling water levels will make the Colorado River Basin an unreliable source of water.
It's trying to build billions of dollars worth of infrastructure in this lake and in the system that is clearly in severe decline. It's a strange way to try to generate electricity. There's a lot smarter, faster, easier ways to generate electricity than pump storage hydro.
The permit gives the developer, Daybreak Power, the go-ahead to negotiate for land use rights and finalize plans for the project, but conservation groups say the $3.6 billion would be better invested in solar and wind power projects. Mark Richardson reporting.
New data shows a big drop, just over 9%, in the number of Indiana students applying for federal student aid this year. Experts say that could mean a big red flag for college enrollment. The National College Attainment Network tracks FAFSAs, free applications for federal student aid. Maura Lee Keller is the network's director of technical assistance.
If the FAFSAs are already running just under 10% behind, and FAFSAs are a very strong indicator about the likelihood to enroll in college, we may be getting set up for another significant drop in college enrollment this fall.
One speculation is many students are holding off, waiting to hear whether their preferred college will offer in-person instruction next semester. And finally, our Lily Bulkey tells us a cohort of white people of means are transferring wealth to black-led food and land organizations across the nation as a form of reparations and restorative justice.
At the Detroit Black Community Food Security Network, Executive Director Malik Yakini says a white woman from California called last year saying she wanted a sizable portion of her inheritance to go to the organization. Yakini recalls she felt there was, quote, some lack of justice in how the money was acquired, and she wanted to redirect it into the community.
One of the fundamental reasons that Black, Brown, and Indigenous communities suffer food insecurity is because of our dispossession of land. One of the things that gives a community the ability to feed itself is having access to land, you know, to grow and produce food.
According to recent data, white people own 98% of U.S. farmland, though many Black Americans have deep roots in farming.
This story was produced with original reporting from Ruth Terry for Yes Media. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and always online at publicnewsservice.org.